Pull up if you really with it. Pull up if you really with it. Pull up if you really with it. Pull up if you really with it.
Uzi. Uzi. Wake up. Uzi, not again. You're never gonna change.
Yeah, first of all, I fuck 8 bitches a day. How could you ever say Lil Uzi gay? Fuck 4 of them raw, fuck 4 of them safe. Think I'm splitting her eyes, but for you to debate. Don't want no pussy, want oral today. Fall out your tongue and you twirl it, baby. She lick on my back when I'm proudy, baby. Diamond so wet like a swally bag. I'm more than a 40. If I put out a tape with my porn shit. If I'm pointing, you porn.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards of Gallery Place podcast. Brendan and Damo back on the show, and it is Monday, November 6th, and we have a special guest on with us today, Kyle Andrews from the Capital Crossover podcast. Kyle, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just, finally a Wizards team with a direction, right? So it might not be the best direction, but it's the direction. We'll take it.
Yeah, certainly a choice. And we'll get into the games from last week. Talk about anything in between and get to the games that we have to look forward to later this week. That's typically the format of how these in-season pods are going to look, if you guys haven't already figured that out. But before we get too much into it, if you aren't subscribed to the pod, please make sure that you are. Rate us 5 stars and leave us a kind review. The Wizards had 3 games last week, both of which Damo and I predicted that the Wizards would lose all 3 of them. And the Wizards are now sitting at 1-4, one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. And we can start at the top with the Boston Celtics. I mean, and this game was just not close from start to finish. This was probably the biggest beatdown that we've taken so far this year. Jaylen Brown looked like Michael Jordan and Steph Curry combined. We weren't able to get any rebounds. It seemed like there just wasn't a lot of pushback. But to be honest with you, like, Boston has a lot of talent, and we knew that it was probably going to be a challenge for a guy like Jordan Poole, who's expected to somewhat carry our offense this year. But we knew it was going to be a challenge going into the game with Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, capable defenders that were able to switch on him and make things difficult. And things were really difficult for him, as well as some of the other matchups that we'll get into later this week. But Damo, let's hear it, man. What did you think about that Boston game?
Oh, man, that game was hilarious, man, in a bad way. Like, it was just like it looked like, you know, varsity versus JV, man. Like, it just was straight beatdown, man. I can't remember the last time I seen a game where a team scores, I think they scored 126 points.
Yes.
And only 5 of the points were from the free throw line. So that means you weren't fouling. They were just dotting us up and just scoring on us, getting layups, just jumpers, all ISO. Like, you know, Boston, they kind of, when they play an inferior opponent like Jaylen Brown and Tatum, they just kind of just go. It's like they doing they doing drills with Jrue Holiday. Like, they just, all right, man, give me the ball right here. I'm gonna just go hit him with the 1-2 pull up or the fade, turnaround fade. Like, they just was dotting us up, man. It was just nothing we could do. It was really sad to watch. Like I said, it was just varsity versus JV. Like, it was just straight up ass whooping, man.
Kyle, did you catch the Celtics game?
Yeah, and it was super nasty. It was nasty. Like, I mean, the fact that, like, you got two of these guys that people have clowned Jaylen Brown all. They clowned him all summer saying that he has no left. Or they've clowned Jaylen Brown saying that he has no left. They said, you know, he's not going to be able to score to the level that people think that a 300 million player is capable of scoring. And then this dude just goes crazy. I mean, he went 8-for-13 from 3, which is the most, that's the sickest part. It's like, have some pride, you know, foul, like Damo said. I mean, like, they didn't foul at all. I'm sitting there just watching them play, you know, They play a life fitness ball, just going, pulling up from three jacket and then making it. Then, you know, Jason Tatum, of course, he cooks. He goes 14 for 21 from field goal range, 4 from 9 for 3. He has 6 rebounds. He's bullying people. Jaylen Brown has 6 rebounds. He's bullying people. I know, you know, the Wizards had an injury with Gaff being out, but no one just went for it on the glass. I mean, they got killed on the glass. That was bad basketball, 51 to 40 on the glass. I don't even know, man. One thing I will say, though, on the bright side, Eugene Amaroy, he scored 14 points, 6 rebounds. He went 5 for 5 from the field, had that 1 3-pointer. You know, I think he played really well. He's been proving something to me all coming off the bench. I know it's been mostly in garbage time, but this guy, he might be a player. I like his game. I think that he's a decent defender. He's impressed me. It's not all bad. I'll say that. These backups are playing pretty well, and you know, I think they need to be rewarded for it instead of watching Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma check up 500 shots a game. And you know, I mean, even though Kuz was solid in that game offensively. I mean, he went 9 for 15, he went 3 for 6 from 3, had 21 points. But Poole was just like, he was comically bad. I think that was the game where Poole, he had that weird like turnaround jumper that he did where he just like stopped. And I'm just like, what is this dude doing? And he went 1 for 5 from 3. It's just like, dude, stop shooting, man. Like, you're missing everything. You got to get other guys involved. You know, it was just me basketball. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, for sure. Getting to these last two games, and then we can get into player personnel and coaching decisions and all that. Atlanta, November. Now, this game was a lot like the Pacers game, I felt like, where the Wizards come out in the first quarter, and they're actually, for the most part, not bad. I think the only first quarter that's they haven't really been that competitive in so far this year was the Boston game, if I remember correctly, because the Grizzlies game, the Pacers game, the Heat game, I think, and then this Hawks game here, they were all competitive or leading after the first quarter, I'm pretty sure. So the first quarter hasn't really been a problem. It's been the latter half of the second quarter and the third quarter that's kind of doomed this team. And then they are able to make these little pushes in the fourth quarter in garbage time to make things not look as bad as they actually are. But this was another test for Jordan Poole going up against DeJounte Murray. Wes Unseld Jr. did some really, really weird things in this game. Like, everyone was kind of getting on Johnny Davis when he was guarding DeAndre Hunter, but 6'8 versus, you know, 6'4, 6'5, and DeAndre Hunter has gotten a lot better over the last few years. So, I mean, it's things like that where I'm not really so much blaming the players, but I look at the coaching and I'm like, I just don't understand the plan here and what they're trying to accomplish on both ends of the floor. But again, this was a game where the Hawks actually, from just the eye test, and I don't have the numbers in front of me here to look, but they didn't actually do as much damage offensively as they could have. They were missing a lot of open looks, I felt like, and then in the second half, it just kind of got away from them. But this was a game I thought that the Wizards maybe could have won. If you guys remember last week when we were going over our previews for the week and we were talking about the Hawks and the Heat, we thought that there was a chance that they could have been competitive in both of those games, just because they're not really all that. And, you know, Miami to start the year, I think, was 1-4 where we're sitting right now. So they were one of the worst teams in the East, and we know that the Hawks don't really have a lot of defensive personnel outside of a couple few guys. So, you know, the Wizards have had their opportunities to try and get some more wins here to start the year, but it just seems they're not going to be able to get out of their own way, whether that's some of the players or the coaches. Does anyone have anything to comment on either of these two games before we get into personnel, coaching, whatever?
Yeah, I would just say with that Hawks game, I mean, it just I kind of just throwing the Boston game out because it's just they're just way more talented. But the Hawks game, when we talked about it, I was just like, you know, that's a game that they actually have a shot to win because I don't think the Hawks are that super talented team, are overly talented. I feel like if you get a Jordan Poole that can kind of match up with Trae Young, they have similar kind of play styles, kind of herky jerky, undersized, kind of, you know, they kind of struggle with physicality. So I feel like if Jordan Poole could kind of elevate his game, you know, they could, this is a game they could be in. And then Kyle Kuzma could be the difference. But it just seems like that game was just, like you said, like the Pacers game. It's kind of been the theme for them when they play kind of even or average talent. They start out competitive in the first quarter, start out competitive in the beginning of the second quarter, and in the back end of the second, they just get blown out. And in the third, it ain't even worth talking about. By the fourth quarter, the bench guys come in, and then they make a great run and outscore the opponent, but by then, the game is over. So it's like, what can you really take from it? And then that's basically what this Hawks game been. That's what the Pacers game was. Most of the games outside of the Celtics game, and then obviously the one game we won against the Grizzlies. That's pretty much what the games have been. So it's just, it's just ugly, man. And it's one part talent, and then it's another part coaching lack of adjustments, which I'm sure we'll get into in here. So,
Kyle, anything on the Hawks or Heat game?
I think with the Hawks, you let them get to the free throw line and just put you to sleep. I mean, they went 29 for 32 from the free throw line that game. You know, 3-point range, no one was good in that game. I mean, 25% for the Wizards, 10 for 40 from three, 9 for 32 from the Hawks. And, you know, I think it's, like Damo says, winnable games, but your starters have to play better. I mean, there's no reason why the bench guys are coming in and completely outplaying the starters. I mean, it's not like these other teams are emptying their bench against the Wizards either. And, you know, you got these bench guys that are coming in for the Wizards, and they're just playing more cohesive basketball. It seems like they, you know, they're going out there and they're just gunning. And, I mean, gunning in the right way. Like, I mean, Bilal Coulibaly, the way he played in the Heat game, I was really impressed with him. He went 4 for 5. It's definitely something there with his hustle. And that's something more that I can say from, you know, I say the same thing about Johnny Davis. Johnny Davis hustled in that game. He played well offensively. And I think, you know, between those two and Ryan Rollins, I mean, you got some young guys on this team and Eugene Amaroy. I mean, they played pretty solidly coming off the bench in that game. So, I mean, it's some positive things to take away. Yeah, I mean, I think you got some guys, but, you know, it's a little tough going forward.
The Hawks.
Lineup right there.
I know that you mentioned, Kyle, that the Hawks were at the free throw line a lot. And as of right now, they are the number three team in free throw attempts per contest right now. And we're going to see the number four team tonight, Philadelphia. Atlanta's averaging 26.5 free throw attempts. And Atlanta's averaging 26.5. And then Philly's averaging 26.4. So not much of a difference there. So the Wizards are definitely going to have to guard up and make sure that they're disciplined in order to keep Philadelphia off the line tonight. But we'll get into that more later. As far as personnel goes, weekly checkup, we'll just kind of go over some of the main players, where they stand. Some of the players we didn't get to last week. Injury update before we do. Corey Kispert is questionable tonight. He missed last game. Daniel Gafford, who was out and then came back and is now questionable again. So we don't know if he's going to play tonight. And then Denny Avdija is also questionable. So those are definitely three guys that are core pieces to this team that you would really like to see contribute going forward. So you would expect to see a lot of Bilal Coulibaly minutes if one or two of them can't make it a go tonight. Maybe this is a game tonight where maybe Eugene Amaroy gets a lot of minutes in there. We'll see. But That's our injury update as of right now. I think everyone else is fine. Player wise, let's start with. I mean, do we even really need to talk about Kyle Kuzma? Because I feel like he just does what he does. Like he's just consistent. I feel like I don't think he's done anything necessarily to like that's like warrants talking about. I guess.
Yeah. No.
He's kind of met my expectations outside of his three ball. Yeah. Like I think he's shooting. I think right now he's shooting a career high on twos. I thought he played pretty fine. It's just that man, like outside of him in the starting lineup, him and Denny, it's just. Ugh.
Yeah, it's not good. which I guess let's just go ahead and we can start with Tyus. Then we can go from the top and go down. They got to make a change there. Something's got to give with that starting lineup. And again, it's Tyus has played well. There are physical limitations that he has that it just makes it too vulnerable for our defense. And it just makes it impossible to guard anyone when you have two guys who are both small, lightweight, a gust of wind, and they end up in Missouri. So something's got to give there with that starting lineup, and there has to be a change made. And again, it's not that Tyus is playing bad. He's not playing bad. But there's just a physical limitation there. But outside of that, Tyus has played well, I thought. He's taking care of the ball for the most part. He's making the right reads. He has that nice floater that he's still been utilizing, which I think is something that some of the point guards in the past here haven't had. And it's a really efficient shot that can really bail us out at times. So I appreciate Tyus for that. But, I mean, he's hitting his three ball. Again, he's not really doing anything that sticks out that's like irritating me, which is good trade value wise because maybe they could try and get a couple seconds or maybe a first round protected pick that's somewhere in the mid 20s or something like that. But I mean, he's playing well. He's not doing anything to irritate me per se. Kyle, what have you thought about Tyus Jones so far this year?
I think Tyus Jones has been a guy that, you know, he's taking care of the ball. He's been I feel like fairly efficient. He hasn't made like a ton of mistakes. And I think that's, while that is great, I also think too, defensively, like you all said, limited on defense. He's a guy that isn't going to strike fear into the hearts of, you know, opposing offenses. I'm not saying he's a turnstile because I just don't feel like that's fair to him. I don't feel like he doesn't try. I feel like Tyus Jones, when he goes out there every night, he tries and he is a consummate professional. I just also feel like, you know, there, like you said, the size limitations, being 6'1", having to guard bigger guards every night, especially at the point guard position, guys that are a little bit more physically gifted than him. So like some of the more explosive guys, like you're never going to say, you know, for instance, if you put Tyus Jones on another 6'1" guy that's explosive, aka Donovan Mitchell, you know, Tyus Jones is going to struggle with him as well, just because, you know, Donovan Mitchell can jump to freaking Mars. So I mean, it's just that's the I guess biggest issue with Tyus Jones as the starting point guard. And so, you know, and then not to mention you don't have anyone that could kind of allow Tyus just to focus on distributing, because Jordan Poole can't stop he couldn't stop a feather if he wanted to. I mean, it's just like his defense his defense is just not there at all. And I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with Tyus Jones out there. I think he, like I said, it's only on a defensive side, which has obviously been the biggest, I feel like that's the biggest issue of his. And it always has been, always will be. But you can hide that with a better defender at the shooting guard position.
Dama, what do you got on Tyus, man?
Yeah, he's Monte Morris 2.0. Like, he's not going to threaten you offensively. He's barbecue chicken on the defensive end because of his physical limitations. I thought he was going to get to the free throw line more. He's getting to the free throw line less than what Monte did, which is really concerning to me. Like, you look at their numbers, he's I think Tyus is 10 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 turnover. Monte Morris last year, 10 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 turnover. Like, they're identical. But what it's getting exacerbated is the fact that you have Jordan Poole next to him, who makes Bradley Beal look like Drew Holiday on defense. They're just bleeding points at the point of attack. No resistance. Especially if they got to switch out onto a bigger wing or a forward. I mean, it's a bucket going the other way. I think their combined defensive field goal percentage is like near 70%. So you can't. It's not a sustainable pairing. And I think Tyus, he's not hurting us on offense, but he's not doing enough to threaten the defenders. And then he gives up so much on the defensive end that it's pretty much net negative. But that's why he's a backup point guard and not a starter. And, you know, the fact that we're kind of deploying this backcourt to me is just an indication that, you know, we're in full tank mode.
And to me, like, I don't even think it's they're trying to start him just so they can build up his trade value. Like, I genuinely think that Wes thinks that it's the best pairing that he can go with. Like, I genuinely think that he thinks he's throwing out the best starting five out there to give him the best chance to succeed. And as we all have kind of figured out by now, I mean, we knew when we got him in the offseason that they were probably going to start him. And, you know, I was kind of on board with it at first, but seeing how bad Jordan Poole's been on the defensive end, we know that Tyus can't guard because of his height, and it's just not going to work. So you got to make a change. Like, we knew this in the preseason, like, something's, you probably want to switch something up, and he's refused to do it. And then, like you were saying, how they can't guard anyone at the point of attack, and then it gets Gafford out of position, and then suddenly Gafford has 3 fouls in the first quarter, and you're not able to play him for the rest of the second half, and then you have no rim protector outside of that. So the guards need to be better, not only for themselves, but for the interior as well, because we already knew that the interior was probably going to be, you know what the sad thing is right now? The interior at this point with Gafford in there is probably better than the exterior and the perimeter defense. And that's saying something, because we knew that the interior was going to be terrible this year, because Gafford to me is a backup five. And then we don't even have like a backup to the backup five on the team, really.
No.
So, I mean, you're just, like you say, you're just going to bleed points. And when you're not able to compete, well, that's why you get beat out beat so bad the way you do by Indiana, Boston. Miami was up large in part for most of the game. You let Atlanta go on a big run. Well, the reason is because you can't guard anyone. So, and our offense has been fine. We're still good in pace. You know, try switching it up. You got to maybe put Bilal out there at the 2 and move JP to the 1, see if that does anything. But they got to make some sort of change there. But before we get into Wes, let's finish up a little bit more with some of these players. Let's do Denny next. Been really, really good. I have no complaints about his game this year. He's showing us a lot of stuff off the bounce. He's making his 3 ball. Still playing good enough defense. Actually, I do want to talk about this. I've seen a lot of people complain recently that Denny is not a good defender or has not been trying on defense. And I got it. And I was saying this on the timeline the other day. For as much as I will criticize Denny when I don't think that he's playing well, I will be there just as much to defend him when I think that something is unfair that is being said about him. And Denny Avdia has been, and I know it's not an extremely high bar, but he's been the best defender on this team for the last 2 or 3 years now. So if all of a sudden people are going to start saying that Denny Avdia doesn't play defense, well, to me, I'm not going to keep helping off my guy in my assignment if everyone else is not going to take care of theirs. Like, it just becomes a business decision at some point. So, and I think that he tries to do what he can. He tries to, you know, help out and be a good team defensive player, but if everyone else is just going to keep getting by him, at some point you're going to look at the guy next to him and be like, I'm sorry, dude, I'm not going to keep helping you out every time. Like, eventually you got to stick up your guy, because then it's going to make me look bad when I get out of my spot. And then now my guy's left open in the corner for a three ball. And then you're going to be looking at me like, why aren't you guarding him? Like, something's got to give there. But I did want to touch on that. And I don't know if that's just Jordan Poole fans, but I did notice that that was kind of being said a lot last week. And I was like, we got to cut that out now, because Denny's been one of our best and most consistent defenders for the last few years. So I don't want to hear that.
I totally agree with you, because I'm looking at, you go on Crafted NBA, and you look at Denny's advanced stats on defense. And I mean, he's in the 85th percentile of deflections with 3.4. You know, he's getting the defensive rebound 76th percentile in defensive rebounds, rim frequency 58th percentile. I mean, he's okay. But versatility, I mean, he's the most versatile defender that the team has. I mean, he's in a 92nd percentile. And in his Crafted DPM, 78th percentile, he's clearly the best defender that the Wizards have. He's the most versatile defender that the Wizards have had. And I mean, I think a decade probably. It's like, this guy can do multiple things. The problem is you don't have other guys that are stepping up to do their jobs. I mean, I don't see what his problem is defensively. And offensively, I mean, the dude's been playing incredibly well. He's been one of the better, more consistent offensive guys that they've had this year, like you guys have said. I don't see any problem with him offensively. I mean, the only thing I would say for him is that sometimes I do just wish Denny would be a little bit more aggressive. But if it's not his game, it's not his game. I'm not going to knock him for, you know, not be. I mean, because he still finds guys open. That's the thing. Like, he's still doing things that I think assist-wise, like, yeah, he might be at the same point that he was, but he's still making the right passes. Other guys are making those passes, trying to find the people. And I think he's been great when it comes to just doing his job. I mean, his field goal percentage is up to 56%. His three-point percentage is up to 50%. He's getting a good amount of rebounds per game, 5.8. He's at his highest steal rate of his career so far through five games, you know, and he's playing less minutes than he was last season. So I don't understand why people have so much of a problem. I mean, maybe like you said, the pool stands, Brendan. I don't understand how there are pool stands. Like, what has he done? I don't get that. Like, what has he done?
Win a championship as a six man. He was the second best player on that Warriors team when they won that championship.
I would say Wiggins and maybe even Looney, to be honest with you.
Wiggins was tough that season. Yeah, Wiggins was like, man, he was great that season. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, while I understand what he did that while he was there, it's been a year and a half. Keep proving something to us. And I saw something that Jordan Poole said. I think it was in a Ringer. Logan Murdoch wrote this story where he was like, oh, I've proved what I needed to prove. You know, I don't have anything to prove because I won a championship. You won one championship. How great do you want to be? Do you want this to be your team? Do you want this to be the next chapter where you go all out, you know? And I think Gilbert Arenas called him out on it, ironically enough. Go figure, another former Golden State Warrior that came to the Wizards. But it's just, and, you know, I just don't get it. How do you feel like you've accomplished everything when you won one championship? Want more? I don't know.
Well, that kind of checks out.
I mean, some of it is kind of, you know, current media. I mean, it's like you're a bum if you don't win a championship. You're celebrated if you win a championship. So it's like, in his mind, well, I've won a championship, so that means I'm stamped, right? I don't need to prove anything, because that's what y'all have said it's all about. It's about winning championships, and I proved that I could win a championship. Despite all the flaws of my game, I won a championship. as a key contributor, not a guy that was like the 10th man, just, you know, clapping on the bench. Like I was hitting big shots in pivotal moments to help us win playoff games and ultimately win, you know, hoist the trophy up. So that you can't take that away from him, but that's with anything, that's not the end all be all winning championships. And just because you don't win a championship doesn't mean you're not a great player. So I think he needs to kind of recalibrate and say, okay, yeah, I won a championship, but I won that championship on Steph Curry's team, on Clay team, Draymond leadership. Now I'm about to prove to y'all I can win a championship as the bus driver. I can win it as the leader, as the core piece driving this train. And that to me, I think he should want that. But if he's just going to approach it like, oh, I won my championship with Steph and them, I don't need to get better. But then we got problems.
Yeah. Right there. And again, like you were saying, Kyle, that kind of checks out if that's, you know, with what he said, that it adds up correctly to me, because it seems like he's been playing like he doesn't really have anything to prove. And we knew that going, like, in the preseason, he was kind of giving off that vibe that, like, he didn't really care. But we're like, oh, it's preseason. You don't want to get injured by trying to overly try your ass off. So I get it. But then the regular season is coming. There was a point in the Boston game where, and I'm sure he's done this multiple other times too, but there was a pick and roll, and I forget who was setting the screen, but it was set, and there was like literally no effort. Like he literally like slow-mo walked around the screen and then threw his arms up like he was looking for a foul or something. And I'm like, bro, you have got to give more of an effort than that, because like you said, Damo, it's making Bradley Beal look like a respectable defensive player. And oh, yeah, that can't happen, especially when you're not, like right now, you're not nearly as good as Bradley Beal was on the offensive end of the floor. It's not even close.
Nowhere near.
Nope.
I would call for a 6 foot, you know, for a guard under 6'5", I would call Brad Beal like a C defender. Like when he's locked in and engaged, Jordan Poole is like an F to me.
Yeah.
Straight, yeah. F. Like he's like Trae Young level, where you're just sieving points. But the difference is Trae Young is, you know, 25 and 10 on the other side. So you live with it. And then they're also putting a DeJounte Murray next to him and not a Tyus Jones. So it's like, That's where the biggest issue is. It's like we're not even, you know, kind of putting Poole in position to be the best version of himself. We're exacerbating his weaknesses by putting a miniature guard next to him.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. And I think that there does have to be some accountability there, though, from Poole as well. Just and I've been seeing this a lot recently, too, like the Poole fans have been kind of like, oh, Wizards fans are not being fair. And it's like, oh, this is the Westbrook saga all over again. And it's just annoying. Like, we're not crapping on the player because he's playing really well. We're crapping on the player because he's playing bad. And naturally, we expect more from a player making damn near $30 million and was expected to be our lead guard this year. Forgive us for having expectations. If you'd like us to drop all of our expectations and expect nothing, we can do that. But coming into the season, that wasn't really the idea. The idea was that we were going to have our lead guard, and it wasn't a lock that he was going to be a part of the future, but he was going to have a really damn good shot. And to be honest with you, there really wasn't a lot that he could do to fuck it up. And to start off the year, it's just been about as bad of a start as you could have. And he had a good game, I thought, the other night against – it was either Miami or it was probably Miami that where he had like a really strong game offensively. But again, defensively, it's like you're not providing anything. And on a team that doesn't have a lot of defensive pieces, I don't expect a lead guard making $30 million to pack it in and just say, well, that's not my job. I'm just out here to score the ball. Like you expect people to be leaders and step up in those situations. And the only type of guy that I think that has that type of energy is Kuzma. And yeah, he can't be the number one or number two player on your championship team. We even saw him as the number three option on a team, and we didn't even make the playoffs.
Yep.
So, I mean, they can be a lot better than what they are right now. I'm not saying they can go out there and be a 500 team or borderline 500. I'm not even saying they can go out there and win 35 games this year. But I think they can be a lot more competitive than what they are right now. And to me, it starts with taking accountability. And that goes for some of the other players in the rotation that maybe aren't doing their part as well. And again, we knew that there were going to be a lot of limitations with this team. There's a reason this team is designed the way it is. They're not supposed to be good, but you have to show some fight. And outside of the player personnel, one person who is really holding us back from doing that right now is Wes Unseld Jr., which, Kyle, I don't know what you've made so far from him this year. I've been trying to give him a pass for the most part, but he's still doing a lot of the things lineup and game plan wise that we've seen in the past. And I'm just kind of at a point now where I'm just kind of hoping that they just can him and they move one of the assistants up to interim for the rest of the year. But I don't know what you make of his situation at this point.
I'm not far off from where you are on this. And it took me a while to get to this point only because, like, just a couple days ago, you could see what I said on Twitter where I was like, I don't think that it's much that you could do with this roster, but a great point that you guys have constantly made on your podcast is that, like, look, defensively, they could get better. If you got to sacrifice some offense, so be it, you know? And I mean, it's like, look, I want to play some of the younger guys. That's where I'm at with it. If your team is going to stink, let some of the young guys do some weird stuff. Like, why, you know, like the Spurs have Jeremy Sochan running point. I'm like, let's get weird. Let Denny run point, or let, you know, Bilal run point or something. Do something weird. Get creative with the lineups. That's why, like, when they played against the Celtics, we're like, oh, a small lineup's coming out. Oh, this is cool. Like, that's the first time I saw them get weird, but they had to get weird because they had no center. The thing is, like, he should be literally if you gotta tie Wes's hands from filling out that lineup sheet, do it. Do something. Tell him you have to play these young guys. You have to let them develop playing on an NBA court and not in the G League. Like, these guys aren't even getting G League minutes yet. I mean, I want to see these guys play a bunch of different positions. I want to see these guys, you know, become secondary or tertiary ball handlers. Like, if you have to get guys, you know, moving in different positions and getting them a feel for every single part of the court, they're going to be better players down the line when they finally get that good coach. And I think Wes is so, like, concerned about losing his job at this point that you cannot do anything with him. It's like Ron Rivera. It's the same thing. I look at it, I mean, it might be, and really worse, because, like, at least the Commanders are, like, okay. But, like, I mean, Wes just, I don't get it. It's like, I would run, if you're going to suck this bad, at least suck and develop your young guys. Because at least that, to me, that buys you time as a coach. If you're a bad team, but your young guys are playing every day, they're getting extra minutes, they're doing everything that they possibly can. The thing is, like, at least now you got young guys that are in better shape for the future. They can do more things. They become more versatile. Like, yes, Denny's a versatile defender, but we built Denny when he first came into the league. What did everybody think Denny could become? They thought Denny could become like a Hedo Turkoglu type of guy. Well, if that's the case, then let him run point sometimes. Let him run point. Let Bilal, I mean, you let Bilal and Johnny Davis run point as primary ball handlers in the summer league at times. Let them do the same thing, you know, playing with this team. Because, like, if Kyle Kuzma signed a 4-year deal with the Wizards, he knows he's not winning anything with the Wizards. And the thing is, he's still going to bust his butt because he wants to go to a winning situation eventually. You know, and the thing is, it's not the end of the world for him. If Jordan Poole steps up, he can go get traded eventually. He's going to massage his trade value and get himself to another place. I mean, these other guys are going to have to buy in on it, and I don't see why they wouldn't. So, I don't know, man. All right, so, I think Wes has to, if he doesn't buy into that, if he doesn't try to get himself, buy himself some time with young guys, I think he's got to go. And I think it's going to happen. If it does happen, it's got to happen prior to even the trade. I mean, like, I'm talking about January. It has to happen.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's tough because it's still so early right now. And just knowing that, like, these GMs and front offices kind of view things in 10, 20 game increments. And so it's like, in my mind, I'm like, all right, what are we going to learn from Tyus Poole backcourt? Like, what are we going to learn? Like, even if you come from the most optimistic view that, all right, we're going to build up Tyus' value, right? Who the hell is trading for Tyus to be their starter? Who? Nobody. Like, he's not a starting point guard. He's never been that. Like, he's a spot duty starter. He top tier backup. Right? Like, Jordan Poole, who's still 24 years old, there's some development for him. I would rather see him run lead guard and take those lumps, learning how to be a better passer, reading the floor, reading defenses, than just having him come out playing the two and just jacking. You know, I think we can learn something from him as a lead guard versus what he's doing right now. Bilal, like you said, having him playing on the perimeter as the Larry Hughes to you know, Jordan Poole's Gil, like, that makes sense to me. We can learn something from that. You know, Denny as a primary ball handler. I was going to mention the same thing with the Spurs running Sochan at point guard, like. Get weird. Like, and it's just like, at some point, I think the front office is going to have to force his hand. Like, they're going to have to trade away DeLon. They're going to have to trade away Tyus, Gallo, all of these third string and second string backup vets. They're going to trade him away to force him to play Ryan Rollins the minutes he should be playing, to force him to play Bilal and Denny in their proper spots. To help maximize the vision forward, because we're learning nothing from Tyus and DeLon playing point guard. They're gaining no added value. They are the same players today that they were 4 or 5 years ago. There's just no upside in that. So why are we wasting our time with it? And the only reason I could come back to is that you got a third year head coach trying to keep his job. So he's sticking with his conventional position lineups. Tyus the point guard, DeLon the backup, Poole the two guard, Johnny the backup, or Shamit the backup. And he's not doing anything unconventional because he's trying to hold on for his dear life.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense too. And going back to the Wizards accepting his fourth year team option, we knew that wasn't a guarantee that he was even going to see that. And as of right now, I would say that he's still probably not going to. And again, you know what the weird part is that it, like you were saying, if he just committed to some of these different lineups and was trying out the right things with the young players, in my opinion, even though you may be losing a little bit more, which I don't even think that that's possible at this point with how bad this team looks, but you'd actually probably be helping your case for getting another year. But if you're going to be unwilling to do that and you're going to keep playing DeLon Wright, Tyus Jones, and you're not going to play some of the other younger guys on the team and get weird with the lineups in a good way, not in a bad way. That means being maybe oversized in a position and not undersized like playing Johnny Davis at the four. Not that kind of weird, but let's go the opposite way. Let's put Bilal at the two, try Denny at the one, you know, just do things that might make sense to where we can go into something and say, I see what you're trying to do, and it may or may not work, but I at least appreciate that you tried. And he's just not that type of coach. Again, he's a very conservative style coach, and those coaches don't last when you're trying to build up a young program into being something relevant like a playoff team. So those types of coaches aren't going to last. And that's my concern for him at this point, is the front office is going to pick up on that if they already haven't, and they're going to be looking at someone else come, like Kyle said, maybe even as soon as January, they decide to move off from him. But I mean, if they keep losing games like this, then there's no reason to keep him. And again, like you were saying, Damo, at this point, you know, you were trying to avoid getting beat down like this, but if it's going to happen, then who are you worried about upsetting? So, and then at that point, you can open guys up for trade talks and things of that nature. So, which I think is kind of the direction that I think all of us are kind of hoping that they go in anyway as we get closer to the deadline this year. Anyway, we have four games that we're going to go over this week. Technically, the Brooklyn Nets game on Sunday does fall into next week, but we weren't sure if we were going to be able to pull Damo in for a podcast next Sunday. So we figured we would just go over the four games this week. Tonight, Monday, we have Philadelphia. Projected starting lineup, I think, is Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris. Who have they even been starting now? Like after that trade, I gotta go and look at their Sixers box score. Okay, this isn't telling me anything. Let's see. Saturday they play yesterday. No, they didn't. So they must have played Saturday. Yeah, they played Saturday. Okay, so they're sitting at 4-1 right now. They're starting five. Oh, yeah, Melton. So their starting five has been Maxey, Melton, Oubre, Harris, and Embiid. I guess since our guys are questionable right now, I'm going to assume that they can play just to be positive. So that would mean Tyus, Poole, Denny, Kuz, Gaff, no change there. So key players off the bench after the James Harden trade. You got Robert Covington, Marcus Morris, KJ Martin, Paul Reed, Pat Beverly. This is a pretty good all-around team, and I like the Harden trade for them. I think it helps bolster their bench a little bit more, so where I really didn't think that they needed much help in the starting five, provided that Embiid can stay healthy. I think that was the biggest difference, like between me thinking that they should go get a third star and then them just being fine with Embiid and Maxey is Embiid's health. And we know that that's the biggest wild card in them being actual championship contenders. But they've had a really good year so far, and I expect that to continue tonight. I got the Sixers giving us a pretty healthy beatdown. Dama, what you got, man? You got a surprise victory?
Hell no. Man, I said it in our chat, man. I think we might lose by 40, man. Like, this is going to get ugly, especially if Gafford, Hispert, and then who else we have that's questionable?
Denny, yeah.
Yeah, if all three of them sitting, oh, we definitely getting beat by 40. Like,
it might be, y'all be real.
Like, it's going to be ugly, man. Like, I just think Philly, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this has like the number two net rating in the league right now behind Boston. Like, they've been playing their ass off. Maxey and Embiid averaging 30. Oubre averaging 20. Tobias giving you like another 18. So they got some firepower, man. Like, inside out, they got good wing versatility. Like, they can play. So this could get ugly quick. This could be one of them games where, you know, middle second quarter, we already down 30.
Kyle, you got to participate in this with us like Will did with our week one show. What do you got, man? You got the Wizards winning tonight?
That's funny. No, absolutely not. It's no chance. They have no chance. The other thing, too, is like, man, it's so weird. I guess just as an aside, it is so weird to see Kelly Oubre playing at such an insanely, like, I mean, Kelly Oubre's been playing outstanding, and I love it because I was a Kelly Oubre truther when they signed Otto Porter Jr. over Kelly Oubre, and yeah. I was like, I wanted Kelly Oubre on that team to keep around. I like them better than Otto, and it's just like I feel like it's vindication now that he's playing so well. I know it took him a couple stops to get to this point that he's playing so well. But I just love the physicality that he's playing with. I love the fact that he's, you know, been switchable defensively. I love the fact that shooting wise, I mean, he's just like going, he's going stupid right now. I mean, the dude's shooting 53.6% from the field, 44.8% from three. It's probably not sustainable, but like, I mean, he's played so well. He's played so well so far with them. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do against the Wizards. Cause I mean, I'm not saying it's never a revenge game, but they should have kept him, in my opinion, in my honest opinion back then, even. And so I'm more intrigued to see what this Sixers team looks like post-Harden trade than I am about the Wizards. And I think the Wizards are going to get smoked, but it's also going to show me how good this Sixers team can be. Well, I mean, I guess it's not a great baseline because you're playing against a team that's like, you know, cast off into the water. Like, I mean, I don't know, but like the Sixers, I'm just intrigued to see some of the guys that they have on their team. Cause I mean, Tobias is playing better. I think that's always good for them. They need Tobias at his best. De'Anthony Melton in the starting lineup, that's interesting. It seems like it's been working because Maxey's been playing his ass off too. And then Joel Embiid is Joel Embiid. I mean, you can't discount any of those guys that they've had. And then their bench is significantly better, especially, you know, bringing Robert Covington back. I thought that was cool, you know, coming full circle. So, you know, the Sixers, I feel like they'll be a better team, you know, without James Harden, just because, number one, now they have space. And I think that, you know, Maxey can eat. You know, they have cap space. I mean, they'll have more cap space going forward too, if needed be. And I think this is honestly the right move for them, just in terms of like not trying to clog Maxey up. I think having Maxey, you know, having him develop into this like dynamic playmaker and dynamic scorer, it's only going to help them going forward. You know, I'd rather, if I'm Embiid, I'd rather have him, you know, be the guy that is my, you know, second option, and, you know, have Harden be my second option, because Maxey plays like he wants to, you know, put somebody in the dirt every game. And I just felt like Harden wasn't a tenable situation, and they had to get out of it.
We have a home and home with Charlotte in the middle of the week, Wednesday, and then Friday, first game on the road. I'm going to have them split with Charlotte, and I guess just for betting odds, I'll have them losing the away game, and I'll have them winning the home game. Dama, what do you got with these two against the Hornets coming up?
Yeah, that's exactly how I had it, man. I got them losing at Charlotte and then winning in D.C., and that one is an in-season tournament game, the one in D.C., so I have them winning that one. And yeah, that was my initial prediction when I had them 2-8 for their first 10. This was the other win.
Kyle, what do you got, man, against this Hornets team for those two games there?
I'm right there with you both. I think that they, you know, when they win the home game and then they lose the away game. I don't feel like it's much more to that than I think these are two bad teams. And I feel like that's about it. I will say though, LaMelo Ball having that triple double, that was impressive. But you know, I mean, these are two bad teams playing against each other, so I don't see why, you know, the Wizards can't split. I think this is the most winnable game that they've had all season, truthfully.
Starting five for them: LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, PJ Washington, and Mark Williams. An expected starting lineup, I guess, depending on whether or not she thought Miles Bridges was going to play basketball this year. Players off the bench that have been getting minutes: Nick Richards, Theo Maledon, Brandon Miller, and JT Thor. I could very well see that. Like, I could see them sweeping us. I could also see us sweeping them. I mean, I think it's just going to depend, I think, on just who has the better nights, and neither of these teams particularly are that great defending teams. I think they kind of have the same problems we do. They don't really play a lot of defense at the top, not great wings on the perimeter, and then it's kind of like you're leaving it all for the big man to try and figure out.
Mark Williams the other night against the Pacers, though, 27 points and 7 rebounds. So Daniel Gafford will definitely have his hands full with that one. Pause. Final game that we'll go over this week. Brooklyn, they've been playing, I think, pretty decently so far this year, if I remember correctly. Let me check the Eastern standings.
Yeah, they're sixth.
Yeah. They've been 500 so far. So I think this is a game that the Wizards ultimately will drop. They just, quite frankly, don't have the talent. We're going to find this with most teams that we say this year. They just don't have the talent to keep up. Starting lineup, Spencer Dinwiddie, Cam Thomas, Mikal Bridges, Royce O'Neal, and for some reason, Dorian Finney-Smith right now, I guess, what's-his-face is hurt. Claxton, I guess, has been out, so I don't know if he'll be back for that. The game against the Wizards, I would have to get an injury update on that. Now, that would be extremely beneficial to the Wizards if Nick Claxton can't play that game. Let me look at that real quick, because that could actually sway, like, a lot between the difference between deciding a win or a loss. Let me see. Nick Claxton injury. Faces prolonged absence. Okay, so he's probably not going to play. I'm still going to give it a loss, though. I guess maybe it doesn't decide that much as I was thinking. They could win it, but I don't think they're going to. Got a loss here against Brooklyn. Pretty healthily, too. Dama, what do you got?
Yeah, man, it's an L. Like, I mean, they'll have a chance. It's probably going to be similar to the Hawks game where, you know, competitive first quarter, competitive for half of the second quarter, and then they pull away. So that's what I'm expecting. Another L.
Kyle, what you got, man?
They're cooked. I'm right there with you. I just don't feel like they can win that game just because, number one, the talent disparity is just huge. And, you know, they'll get crushed on the boards. And if they still have issues with injuries, you know, from what it sounds like, guys are really banged up. I don't see how they can, you know, especially coming off of such a, a stretch where you're playing so many games in the next couple of days. It's going to be really tough for them to be able to keep up with the Nets.
All right, so we are in agreement for this week that the Wizards will go 1-3, which would put them at 2-9, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So not an ideal start, but not surprising nonetheless. Is there anything you guys want to add before we cut this one? Anything you want to see from any of our players this week? Anything you want to see from Wes, or are we all good?
I would just like to see more lineups that I can project forward. Like I mentioned earlier, the Tyus Poole backcourt, there's no future in that, so why are we playing it? So that's where I'm at.
Kyle, what about you, man?
Maybe it's not a this week thing, but it's maybe a future thing. You know what? I'm going to say it now. If the Wizards were to get rid of Wes Unseld Jr. in the next couple of months, I'll take a flyer on Sammy Yelfin and give him a shot as the head coach. I mean, he's the main analytics guy for the Wizards as an assistant coach. He was the senior director of basketball analytics for Willie Green in New Orleans. He's been with the Pistons. He was with the Warriors from 2013 to 2018 as a coordinator of basketball analytics under Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr. I think he's a guy that has a future as a head coach in an NBA. And not to mention, maybe we could see some of those lineups that we want just because, you know, the numbers crunch that the lineups look good. And, you know, Sammy's willing to go with those. And he's, you know, an analytically driven guy. I think that, you know, maybe going forward, we'll see some cool things out of the Wizards and they'll have some diversity in their lineup and the way that they operate.
Interesting. I haven't heard much about him so far. I think the popular name that has come up when we've been talking, you know, who would take over as head coach, I think David Vanterpool has been the overwhelming favorite and most recognized. But I like that, Kyle. We'll have to look more into him. It's an outside the box thought there that I don't know if Ted would be that progressive enough per se to make that type of move, but definitely something to monitor and keep an eye on going forward. For me personally this week, I would like to see Bilal start. I want to see Tyus go to the bench. This is probably going to be my theme until it happens. And then I also want to see Jordan Poole play a more complete game of basketball, get the team involved, try and get more shots in the mid-range area instead of just heaving up threes. I'd like to see that from him as well. And then I think also just like having that self-awareness with your physicality. Like if you know that you're not going to be able to be that physical with opposing guards, then stop trying to do that. You know your game, know your role. And I think that that's going to be important for him going forward, because that's the difference between a guy that you maybe look at keeping, or you can get some trade value back, or you're kind of just stuck with him and you got to ride it out until his contract is up. And I think that would be worst case scenario for Will Dawkins. Again, now we're starting to see the reason why the Warriors gave us a draft pick and other stuff to get this deal done. And maybe Will Dawkins saw something, you know, in there that we just didn't, that we had the blinders on for at the time. And now it's become apparent. So I still do the deal because of what we were able to get compensation wise. But again, you just kind of hope that he doesn't turn into one of those contracts that no one wants. Cause again, that's worst case scenario with where we are right now. All right, guys, it's going to go ahead and do it for this episode. Again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, if you aren't already subscribed, please make sure that you are. Leave us a 5-star review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.